interview with Audrey Maldonado. The date is December 18th, 2005. Could you tell me your full name?
Audrey Copeland Maldonado.
And when and where were you born?
I was born in Pendleton, Oregon, in the old St. Anthony's Hospital. I can still pick out the room. In January 15th of
1918. Now, what brought you to Union County? How did you get to La Grande? What were the circumstances?
I had been living, I graduated from Pendleton High School, went to California for about 10 years, part of the school, and was married and came back to the Northwest. And my father, Copeland from Pendleton, set us up in the electrical contracting business here in La Grande. And that would be in September of 1947.
And who was your husband?
My husband was Jules Vincent Maldonado.
And was he from here?
No, he was born and raised in Berkeley, California, and lived... Oh, New Mexico Military Institute he went to. He also had a couple of years in Hong Kong with a stepfather and his mother.
I see. So you got set up in Pendleton in this new business. Then, or where was that at?
No, the business was set up here in La Grande.
In La Grande. And where was that located at?
Down on Adams Avenue, but I can't tell you. Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And did you have a part in this business?
Well, yes.
What did you do? What was it about?
Well, actually, the business was in my name because my husband also was working as an electrician, and there was a difference, as I recall, in licensing and maybe insurance between a worker and an owner, so the business was in my name.
For legal reasons.
For legal reasons.
Okay. And what was the name of the business?
La Grande Electric.
And what did they do?
Well, it was a general electrical concern, although outside of electrical contracting, you know, and building things. And we had a part in the electrical part of the second story, I think, of old the St. Joseph Hospital, Greenwood School, and places like that. But we also were Westinghouse appliance dealers.
So did you sell appliances then?
Yes. Well, I didn't purchase it unless I got caught. This lady goes to lunch and I'm there.
But you had a showroom and you sold appliances, washers, dryers.
Well, we didn't open there. Our first building was about where Joe's place is now.
That coffee
McCloy,
place?
Joe Mc...
Oh.
Oh, Joe Sugar. Joe and Sugar or something.
Right, the coffee shop.
Okay. The Red Cross
there.
Yeah.
And then we were only there maybe a couple of years, and then we opened in the corner of the building that is now, straight across the street from the old U.S. Bank building, but I don't know the name of that building now. There's a new... brokerage house or insurance
down
or
by Clark and Associates?
No.
Oh, okay.
There's Red Cross or
Red
Cross
Club,
our store, the old U.S. Bank, and Lawrence Jewelers.
Right. The old U.S. Bank is now what's his name?
I have nothing to do with that type of business anymore, so names are not familiar to me.
Fine. How long did you have that business?
We were there until about 1957.
What happened then?
Well, just things didn't work out, period.
Did you sell the business, or?
I don't recall. Yes, we must have.
Okay. Now, did you work within the business? It
well,
was in your name. What is, what was your?
A little. I did part of the bookkeeping of that type of office recording, you know. And once in a while, if I was there, I would sell some of the appliances. I remember we used to put the new ranges, you know, cooking ranges, into the high school departments for their classes, home ec classes, and I would help kind of set that stuff.
Where did you live?
Actually, we were in a little apartment for a few months, and then we were at 2117 Cedar Street for, I don't know, probably 18 years or more. And then we built a home, beautiful home, up on Model Air Drive. And I stayed there until, probably 73 or 74. My husband decided to go another way, and I jokingly say he didn't go through the change of life, but the change of wife.
Oh, I see.
And then my boys grew up, had three beautiful sons, and they were old enough and left home, and the house was far too big. Jeanette Baum lives in that home now.
I see. And so what did you do? So then we're talking about a divorce, then a split with your husband. And this is after the business has been sold. Now, what have you done during this time? Were you a homemaker?
Well, in 1968, I think, I went to work at Grand Ron Hospital as in their front office. So many changes have been made up there, right or wrong, that it used to be the first facility you would come into from the parking lot. You know, now it's so changed. But I worked in that office for probably a couple of years, and then was promoted to the credit manager. I worked at Grand Ron Hospital for 16 years, and about 12 of those as the credit manager.
And what does a credit manager do?
Try to get money out of the people that say you can't get blood out of a turnip.
Okay. And it's a specialized field. It's medical. We're talking about hospital billing.
Well, I wasn't involved in actually creating an account. Careful, dear.
Oh,
there, on the stairs.
On the stairs?
Whoa. There.
So the accounts were already created.
Well, yeah. Admission offices take all the vital information and accounts are set up, but then people supposedly were sent to me to make arrangements either through their insurance or personal arrangements. What do you want?
And your phone is ringing.
I got it. That's my daughter.
Okay, so so as the credit manager, then your duties, your responsibilities were to help that person make a satisfactory arrangement.
Well, yeah.
And
it was a pretty loose-knit thing back in those days. I did not have any kind of pre-education for such a job, and frankly, I never cared for the work, but as a single person, I had to work, and so I did. I must say, the administration fired me in 1984 because they said I had trouble getting along with people. But in 16 years, there were 8 phone calls or letters in my personnel file for something, you know, that was irony because I had tried to get them to pay their bill. So that wasn't too bad. One a year. That's all right.
Smooth old couch.
One every 2 years would be. Anyway, it was very disappointing to me because I am an extremely honest person. And my dismissal from up there was, I felt very poorly done. It was not legitimate. It wasn't legal. But at that time, I was, I was 67. And of course, I hadn't applied for Medicare then. But I had a good lawsuit I could have gone after, but I would have had to wait for 2 full years because the courts were so full that they couldn't bring my case up. And so I just quit. Or I didn't quit. They gave me a check and said goodbye.
What did you do after that?
I went into retirement.
You earned it.
Yeah. Well.
And you've been retired since?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But I had kind of an active life before I went to work at the Grand Rana Hospital. Older people around here would remember June McManus, who owned the original Red Cross drugstore. And she got me involved in what we call the Youth Activities Program. And we had programs during the day in 3 grade schools and at night in, I think it was just the high school. And we had everything from dancing classes to fly tying to cooking to, you know, a variety of hobby-like things that the students were involved in.
Do you remember what night of the week it was?
Well,
did they hold it on a regular night?
Oh, yes. It was a regular
like
school night.
Like a Wednesday night?
Yeah, but I don't
know. Okay, all right. And did you lead any of these groups?
Well, I set up the whole thing. I had probably, 30, 40 volunteers. And I did teach at the high school a dancing class because way back in my youth in San Francisco, I had worked for Arthur Murray. And so I had some background of dancing. Not very good, I don't think. But
I bet you were great.
But you taught some ballroom dancing
yes.
for the program.
The dancing apart, jiggly kind of dancing was just coming in, and I was trying so hard to revert young people back to the fun of close dancing and teach them, you know, like foxtrot and rumba and a little tango maybe. And so
did they enjoy that?
Pardon?
Did they enjoy that?
Yes. In fact, years later, I ran into some young man, and I can't recall his name now, and he said, oh, I remember you. He said, you taught me dancing. And this was years later. But anyway, it was a fun thing to do.
Now, the program, the Youth Activities, were you part of a group that got it started? Or
I was the group
involved?
That got it started.
Okay. And how long
unfortunately.
How long did that go
I
on?
I think we lasted for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And
there was a variety of, I can remember, Vern and I think her name is Pat Pridgen. And she had a background of not aerobic dancing, but anyway, her family had been involved in professional, acrobatic dancing, the kind they do in circuses and so forth. she was one of my volunteers. I can't even recall all their names now, but there was quite a crew. And even though I was a little mother, I found the time to set up and call and involve all of these people into volunteering their time. And it, as I say, it was quite successful for a couple of years.
Were your children students then? Were your children in school then?
No.
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 No. So this was after they were already grown?
No, this was I had them at home. Well, I had two of them at home. My firstborn and my secondborn were young toddlers.
Okay. What else? Can you tell me about living in LeGrand?
Well, having been born and raised in Pendleton, and you may or may not agree with this, but from the time I was very young, I realized that Pendleton was a very cliquey town socially. And that always displeased me terribly. And so then when I got out of there, I was very anxious to leave Pendleton and went to school, San Mateo Junior College in California for a year and a half or 2 years, I can't remember. And then I worked while I was there as you're too young to remember these things, on Treasure Island, which was in San Francisco Bay, and it was a World's Fair. I worked there for full of 2 years that they were open, that they, you know. And so I had a background of other people besides Dear Pendleton, and I found that when I first moved to LeGrand, people were so outgoing and so friendly, and they didn't care if you drove a Cadillac or a 20-year-old jalopy. You know, you were a person that made your way. And so, and I have always felt that about LeGrand, that if you kind of put yourself out to do your share, that things will come to you. Friends and acquaintances. And
has that proven to be true then?
Yes, very true. Very true.
Still here.
Mm-hmm. Pardon?
You're still here.
Yes, I'm still here. Uh-huh. Well, as I say, one mistake sometimes that parents make is you encourage your children to get a good education, you know, and so all three of them, well, two of my boys, the two oldest boys, virtually put themselves through college and got good educations and then went on to master's degrees and so forth. But you don't come back to LeGrand from many jobs. So they're flown all over the country, you know. So I have never had the privilege, really, of living close to my children once they were adults. And my youngest son, he went into the service when he was 19, I think. He graduated from Pendleton High School because he wanted to go and live with his father for a while. And anyway, and his father had been in the military, and I'm sure he encouraged him. You know, his father had been an officer in the Army and so forth. Anyway, my dear Jim served 20 years in the service, in Europe and South America, Hawaii, and wherever. Came home, and they discovered on his medical examination for discharge that he had an inoperable brain tumor, cancerous brain tumor, and I lost him at 41. So that was a very sad blow in my life.
Sorry for your loss.
Yeah, well, things happen.
So, Did your children, any of your children were not raised by you here in LeGrand?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I raised all of them here in LeGrand.
Okay, so your children did go to school here in LeGrand?
Yes, they went to grade school, and my second son, he was interested in, police work, kind of. What am I trying to say? Anyway, he had a scholarship to Eastern Oregon for 1 year, and then he transferred to Southern Oregon in Ashland because he liked the professor that taught the criminology. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So he went there, and my oldest son did graduate from USC here, and then was with insurance companies for, he recently retired as the senior vice president of Regents Blue Cross Blue Shield, but he was with Blue Cross actually for 30 years, but in many places, you know, that's why I couldn't follow them.
What grade school did they go to?
Ackerman.
Oh, they went to the last school?
In LeGrand, when your child was at least a month old, you went up and registered them for Ackerman.
Why?
Because it was not a public school, and Ackerman only had morning and afternoon, which would involve, I'm guessing, but I say no more than 30 children in the whole city, you know, for kindergarten. But then, after they went to kindergarten there, then all three boys went the full time at Ackerman.
Was that the 6th grade then, 7th or 8th?
Well, I think that just went to the 6th grade, if I have my memory. Yeah.
And then did they go to
middle
your
school.
Older son went to middle school?
Middle school and then high school, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And one of them went to Eastern
for
a while?
The second son and the oldest son both went to Eastern.
I see.
You'll see that later.
Yeah. EOC, yeah. Doesn't
it?
EOC then,
huh? Uh-huh.
Yeah. In fact, I had a sister that was born and raised in Nelson, too, and she went to the old Draper Business College in LeGrand.
Really?
Have you heard that one before?
No, I haven't.
Well, Draper, yeah, they were well known.
Well, let's talk about some of these places here in LeGrand. Where would you go to socialize or maybe go out to eat or somewhere like that when you were a young married couple?
We didn't have a lot of money, even though we had a business. We were not affluent. And so with three little children, what do you want? there's another bowl over there.
Oh, okay. I'll find them eventually.
I can't remember. There was a good social life, though, for young people. I mentioned earlier about this Junior McManus that got me so involved in the youth activities and being on the radio with her and so forth.
You were on the radio with her?
Well, she had a weekly program, and she had people to interview. And anyway, we had only been here just a few months, and I can't remember how she announced it, but she informed me that we were now members of the country club. And she and her husband, Snap, had paid our initiation dues or out there. And I don't remember how much that was that many years ago. But then we picked up a monthly membership. Never able, as we grew up, much to take advantage of that because, you know, required babysitters to get away to, you know, do all these things. But my two oldest boys did start playing golf there, and to this day, it's their love. They are both deeply involved in golf, you know. Well, it's a lifelong sport.
Well, it is.
Yeah. And even I played for, I finally quit playing what I laughingly call golf when I was 82 because I wasn't sure if I was going to get that hole first in the ball.
Did you have what they call a handicap?
I never was that good to get a handicap.
Okay.
But I just enjoyed it. I loved, absolutely loved getting out there and playing.
Now, what were the general requirements to belong to the country club at that time?
Membership money, I guess. If you had enough money to, I don't know if there was any criteria for.
Did you have to be like nominated, or the people that signed you up? Did you have?
No, I think people could apply. You know, and maybe the board passed on something. I have no idea about that. But when, like June. You know, sponsored us, I guess you'd say, and put it in that. But anyway, it was a good social outlet. We used to have glorious 4th of July picnics and fireworks out there at the old, well, same country club, but way back. And, you know, Christmas parties and New Year's parties and that sort. And then here in town, too, people used to entertain more. Through the holidays, and I did belong to a little group called Beta Sigma Phi, which is a non-scholastic sorority thing. And we had parties and so forth, but there was quite an active social life.
Who belonged to the Beta Sigma Phi?
Oh dear, I don't remember that. I have too many years ago.
But
I don't think I was involved in that.
Well, you might have been, but I can vividly remember.
It was a local service or
yeah,
community
organization. Yeah, but you got, well, no, I think it's national.
It's a big thing.
Yeah. And I actually started that in Pelton in an original group with, did you ever meet Barbara and Beverly Guy, who married some of the Rocks and...
No, I haven't.
Identical twins? Well, they were members over there, I remember. But anyway, when you had just meetings, well, weekly or monthly meetings, you went in long dresses, you know, and maybe the realist, what am I trying to say, ritual type stuff, which I was never fond of, carrying a candle, and I can remember coming I said, if you ever catch me going out that door again in a long dress with a candle, I said, just let me have it. That ended that for me. But they are kind of a philanthropic group, and part of it was fun, and we entertained, you know, in our homes and so forth.
Where would you go? If you had an occasional night on the town?
Well, those were seldom, but I was thinking one of the fun places to go after our dances at the...
Wait a moment. That will overtake us.
That's cute, Abby.
I don't think it's not very loud.
No, but it'll overpower your voice. Okay. Go ahead.
When we used to have our formal holiday dances, for instance, down at the Sacagawea, the old Sacagawea ballroom, then we'd go to China Mary's.
Where was that?
Well, it would be in a building that now is where the First National Bank is, and what the First National Bank thing is now, I don't know. I love these corporations that love to eat each other up.
Come on, Jimmy Castro.
Hmm?
Okay.
Well, just, all right. I told him to come eat dinner when we got home. We'll get done with you.
Oh.
I'll feed him.
Did you go dancing?
Oh, sure.
Where?
On the Sacramento Ballroom. There were two beautiful ballrooms up there.
Did they have live bands or
oh, sure.
Was it recorded?
Yes. In fact, there was a death in the paper last week of a Bickle. And Father Elmer Bickle had quite a popular band here.
Did you see this band?
See it?
Did you hear?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, they played the, you know, every big formal function we had. I'm trying to think of Don Gray. You may be familiar with the artist. I can remember, I think it was for my son's Christmas cotillion or dance or whatever they call it, up in the Sac Annex. He did a French building mural clear around that huge wall that was just flabbergasting. And I can remember going up with some of the young people and all on Sunday after the dance to tear all this down.
Into the end of the
and
day.
We're continuing the interview with Audrey Maldonado. It's still December 18th, 2005. And you were saying that Don Gray is a pretty famous or well-known...
Oh, yes.
He's well-known.
Local people would remember him well.
As an artist.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Where else might you go to say, well, what would you do if you went out for dinner? Where might you go?
People didn't do that much
no.
then, but there was the old trough, but... You know, we didn't go there very much. I can't remember. We didn't go out to dinner very much.
Go to the Inland Cafe? Inland? Yeah, down, it was across the street from the back then. It was a little cafe that my dad liked to go to. And
yeah.
then there was one on Jefferson Street that my dad liked to go to once in a while.
I remember there was a pretty good, probably a sandwich bar in... the Payless building, which is, I think, where J.C. Kenney is now.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Right there.
You used to stop in there at noon. And then there was a wonderful coffee bar in Wright's Drugstore, which is where I think the Foley Station is now. And they serve coffee in bone china cup. I'll never forget that. It was so elegant. You know, it was just fun.
Was it cloth napkins and all of that?
Well, no, just not for a cup of coffee, but it was very, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then I was trying to think of another, drugstore where Hallmark's is now. They had a nice coffee counter, you know. Yeah, that was fun.
How about shopping?
Well, shopping was good. In fact, I used to love in later years for my friends to come to Le Grand to visit because they had such interesting shops. Free a Walmart, and I'll raise my voice on that one.
Let's talk
I'm
about
giving, I'm giving away my likes and dislikes. But there was the Peruvian shop, and I probably can't name them all now. Darling little boutique dress shops, and one big children's shop where, about where the building next door to Foley Station now, and I don't know what that would be. But it was people to the name of Bob Turner. Geneva and Bob Turner owned that, and it was quite a large store and big.
And Fort Trotters.
Hmm?
Remember when Trotters was down there?
Well, trotters was, you know, everybody got close to trotters and loved it, and it was a charming, charming ownership of the two men, Les Pepper and Al Pepper's father.
Right.
Anyway, they were wonderful people and very community oriented.
You shopped there a lot?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What could you get there?
Pardon?
What did they sell?
Upgrade. Good men's suits, jackets, shirts, sweaters. They had down in the basement area, they had a teenage department for like high school kids and so forth. They also carried quite a lot of cowboy boots and hats and, you know, shirts and some of those things. Yeah, great store. Until a Walmart.
Right.
I'm with you.
Do you think that Le Grand, though, however, has retained some of its downtown flavor? I mean, there's still variable shops and places down here, but you don't see a Pendleton.
Well, I'm missing all those old lovely shops, you know.
Right.
I really am, and I don't see, you know, I of course still shop at, like at Hallmark's, which hasn't always been there. It used to be stores where they have the hot tubs and stuff, that building. Well, anyway. But I think some are coming back. I'm so proud of Kelly. Lindbergh.
Lindbergh.
Yeah. With her Marie Josephine shop. She's doing it the hard way, and she's making it, and...
Do you shop there?
Yes, I do. I can't afford a lot of her stuff, but boy, I wait till it's on sale and I buy.
Absolutely.
Lovely, beautiful stuff. But all of them, you know, she has quite an inventory. I walked in there the other day, and here is a beautiful, not pink, darker than that, suede, or lovely.
You said that you were working at Grand Run Hospital.
As the front reception desk, and this old beat up van pulled into the parking lot, and this young man with a very beat up, sloppy old leather hat, a brimmed hat, came in, and he asked to speak to the administrator. And I said, well, may I tell the, he is in, may I tell him who's calling? And he said, yes, it's Dr. Patrici. He looked 16, at least 16.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was funny.
Was that your new position, your new
station? That's where I was.
That's what she was.
That's why I worked for you.
That's who you worked for now.
Yeah, that was when he first moved into San Francisco.
Yeah,
right,
that's
30.
When he rolled into town.
Was
when
he a specialist then? Was he a specialist then?
Oh, yes.
What's his specialty?
Yeah. I even know since stroke that there's a name for it.
ENT.
He's an otolaryngologist.
Yes,
okay.
And I never learned to say that.
Well, some of them say otolaryngologist, but he just considers himself an otolaryngologist.
Well, anyway, that's a charming young family.
He's not so young anymore.
Well, he's 60. That's pretty young. That's 27 years younger than I am. That's a kid.
Uh-huh. Was the freeway in when you moved to town?
Well, 47, and I don't recall when that freeway was built, but many, many years later, when we first moved here in this 2117 Cedar, where we lived for many years, was like a block and a half from the railroad tracks, and there were still steam engines. That's all for years after we lived there. That's all there was this teenage pension. And I can remember my charming, charming, dear little old German neighbor took in washing, but she would have these rows and rows of lovely white sheets, you know, and then a steam engine would go through, and all of the soot would float down on the white sheets. I remember that. That stuck in my mind.
See, I live over on at 2110 2nd Street.
Oh.
So I'm about four blocks over, three blocks over from where you used to live.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you across from the cellar?
No, I'm on 2nd Street. I live next to Buzz and Velva.
Oh, you
told me
that. I'm right
next door to Velva.
Yeah, okay.
When was laundry day?
For her?
For anyone.
I didn't
know. Was there a particular laundry day when you were...
Well, I wasn't that kind. I didn't wash on one day and iron on another and cook on another. And
okay, that's what I was getting at.
No, I wasn't. Still, I'm not a very organized person, but I wasn't that, you know, cutting the groove. I was trying to think of anything. You know, I was here when we had the tragic flood in La Grande, and don't ask me the year.
64, maybe?
64?
60-something.
Might have been.
I was in grade school.
But the water actually came off the hills. You know, we had a deep snowpack, and then it turned very warm, and it wasn't the river that came up with flooded, it was all the moisture coming off of the mountains. And that was kind of exciting.
Did you have to evacuate? How did it
No, but the high water was within a block and a half of
How did you deal with that?
I didn't have to deal with it because I wasn't affected. The schools and the business districts weren't underwater. The viaduct that goes under the railroad track, whatever street that is, that filled up. And I'll never forget paper saying some idiot in a little powerful Jeep thought he could run through it. So he goosed that little Jeep up, and he got about halfway through, and then he had to surface and swim out. That was a fun thing.
Yeah, I remember the flood. I was a kid.
Yeah.
When they were cold. And, yeah.
How did you get back and forth to Pendleton before the freeway?
Well, the old Highway 30, I guess it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was an interesting road. Let me tell you, you didn't speed too much on that because it followed every little crook and curve and so forth between here and Pendleton, you know. And it was an interesting, beautiful drive. But we were, of course, glad, like everybody else, when the freeway went in because less accidents and so forth. Because in that old highway in the winter was really as big a challenge as the new one is now, because we didn't have the wonderful equipment to clear the highways in the ice and snow.
So you could be stuck at home easily then, well, if they didn't routinely take care of that.
They are right now. You know, when Lab Tang hill out of Pendleton.
Cabbage Hill.
Are closed down your stuff. So we haven't progressed that much.
No.
They haven't computerized the highway yet.
Uh-huh.
Have you watched
it? We still have those mountains to get over.
Yeah. Are we still recording? Mm-hmm. Because, yeah.
Well, I'd like to thank you for participating in our project. I think you've shed a lot of light on La Grande and what's going on. If I had other questions, could I talk to you again?
Well, I guess so. To me, my life isn't very interesting, but if someone else might find
I think the stuff you told me about San Francisco when we talked about the area.
And did I tell you that my darling...
Thanks again.
Young